Hello?
Hello, Celine.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
I'm sorry. I'm not okay. My voice is still very bad.
It's the first time I hear your voice, so I didn't know the difference anyway.
Oh, the difference. A lot of difference. it sounds much better than my original voice, but anyway, it's okay.
All right.
Since you have limited time, so we shall... how many questions must I answer?
Well, I mean, it's not really a question and answer kind of thing, but I do have some questions. Usually, you know, more questions pop up during the interview.
Uh-huh.
So, it depends on how much you tell me or how much information I can get and how much inspiration I have.
Wow.
To come up with other questions.
You don't
get it. Anyway, I think I saw the first thing on the internet on Shanghai Expat, I guess it was, some photos about the railroad, that famous line. Which one is it? With the pictures to Tibet.
Tibet, yes.
Yeah, you put some photos on a website. That's how I actually kind of saw the first pictures.
Photos on the website. That's interesting. I'm interested to go to Tibet, and I went and do some a search or something, and I saw these pictures, and I just put it on my Skype. That's basically what I did. It was not done by me. It was I love to travel, so whenever I see something beautiful, I just want to share with whoever that I know.
I understand. Well, I think the internet is one of those instruments that really allows you to do that.
Mm.
Anyway, you're originally from Malaysia, but you're in Shanghai now. And
yes, that's right.
Are you going to stay in Shanghai for a while?
I'm not sure, actually. I've been here for 3 years, and I guess it all depends on how my career moves. If it grows as per what I would like it to, I guess I'll stay here for a while, but if it doesn't, then most probably I would make my journey back to, not Malaysia, but back to Singapore, where I originally started my career from.
Okay, but you are Malaysian.
I'm Malaysian, but I started my career in Singapore, and I kind of like Singapore because of the place there, and the accessibility is absolutely magnificent.
Accessibility to what? Sorry.
Accessibility to a lot of things because the country is small, and they are very well organized country. So I kind of like having my. I kind of like having the extra time.
Okay, I understand that. I know that Singapore is very clean.
Clean.
That's one reason probably you like it.
Well, that's the other one. The other reason is basically time saving, but staying in Singapore and working in Singapore.
Yes,
because the transportation, everything in that, because it's small, the transportation is very well organized. You don't need, being a foreigner, I'm not really a foreigner, I'm a permanent resident of Singapore, you don't really need to actually own a car. Of course, if you want to own a car, it is possible, but it's tremendously expensive, so I don't bother. So I just take the public transport. That itself is very well organized in the sense that you are very well taken care of by the government.
Yeah, all right, I understand. You say owning a car is bloody expensive.
Oh, yes, it's extremely
expensive.
Why is that?
Is that because of the taxes there?
The taxes, yeah.
Okay.
It's even more expensive than Malaysia. Actually, Malaysia, owning a car is very simple. And because we have a national car, if you're not aspiring to own a foreign car, you can just buy a national car. It's as good as a foreign car. But... now, a lot of Japanese car is manufactured in Malaysia, basically because Malaysia has a number of car plants that makes national car, means our country's car. So now, most of the cars are assembled, especially Korean and Japanese cars assembled in Malaysia. So to own a Japanese car is not that expensive. But in Singapore, wow, the taxes is very high. As long as it's a foreign car, well, obviously they have no other cars, but the foreign cars. Yeah, so.
Okay, what about Shanghai anyway, owning a car in Shanghai and buying an export car, kind of?
Oh.
Or imported car, of course, you know.
I think that one I have not really evaluated, basically, because I've been here for 2 years and I don't intend to stay in Shanghai in the long term. So I didn't bother to check on that. But what I know is that in Shanghai, compared to Beijing, they have the only way to control the traffic in Shanghai is to monitor. You pay a high price, you queue and pay a high price for the number plate. Do you know about that?
Yeah, actually, I read some articles about it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the only way I know. That's, and I think the price... For I don't think so it's that expensive. I don't think so the tax is very high. And apparently now BMW is assembled in China, so there has a lot of people start owning BMWs now because it's cheaper.
That's why.
Yeah.
I understand. So, because my friend actually made a remark, man, those BMW 7 Series, they seem to be cheaper, you know?
That's good.
Yeah, like maybe that's true, but on the other hand, you got 20 million people, so you got a lot of BMWs driving around, I guess.
True.
Anyway, you said your career started in Singapore. Can
yeah.
you tell me something more about your career?
My career. I left.
Or your job.
I left home when I was 20, and went over to Singapore to work for a bank. And I worked there for Chase and Hudson Bank, actually an American bank, for 4.5 years. And I left because I felt that, I have to say, I was quite an ambitious little lady. So I felt 4.5 years being in a bank, never able to climb up the corporate ladder. I decided to leave and I joined, I test my capability to become a salesperson. And I work for a training-based company, which is an Australian-based company, which sells training videos. During that time in 1995, during that time is the booming time of training business in Singapore. And I was there for 2 years and I got headhunted by a competitor and I worked for that competitor for 5 years. So that's basically it in my career in Singapore. It's just two industry, the training business and the bank, which is the credit card business. And then I left. I left in 1996.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
you left somewhere
left Singapore.
Around 1996.
Huh?
You left somewhere around 1996?
I left, I'm pretty sure it's 96 because my father passed away in 97. I went, the reason I left Singapore is basically because my father was very sick. And I'm the eldest daughter and I have not been home I'm the only child that has been away from home. So I decided to serve my responsibility as being the eldest daughter and I went back to Malaysia. very... reluctantly, but I have no choice. Reluctantly based on my career, basically, but not reluctantly based on my responsibility, of course not. When I went to Malaysia, then I shifted my goal. Because when I was in Singapore, I was working and studying, and I got myself, we call it Chartered Institute of Marketing, right? Chartered Institute of Marketing. So it's a kind of like a diploma in marketing, and I realized I need to move out of the sales and business development to marketing. And the only way for me to do that is to because I'm good at sales. So I decided to join a media company because a media company will allow me to have exposure. I don't have experience in Malaysia, to tell the truth, so I can't walk into a company and say, I want to work as your marketing person. So I have to start from scratch, and I have to work for an advertising company, a media company, to learn about the environment in Malaysia, the advertisers, the advertising agency, their behaviors, how do they spend the money, how to... I use that as a stepping stone to understand the Malaysian market. And after 2 years in a media company, I was headhunted again, and this time it's by the client. So then I worked for the client right after, which is very good. That's exactly what I want. I don't want to beg somebody to employ me, but now somebody wants to employ me. And I worked for the largest tissue manufacturer in Malaysia for 4 years, and I helped them to build two super brands. In a marketing term, super brand means they are the top brand. And at the same time, I helped them to reposition a category and help them to make more money. So that's basically what I did.
Right. I'm always curious about top brands. I'm familiar with Asian brands.
Asian brands. So
yeah.
In what category are you looking at?
Well, I mean, you said you were trying to, or you were actually establishing two top brands in Malaysia.
Yes.
What brands are you talking about? I don't know anything about Asian brands.
I believe you know Kimberly Clark. Kimberly Clark is the largest manufacturer of tissue in the world. They produce two brands. They produce, the main brand is Kleenex. The second brand is Scott's, but Scott's, they bought over Scott's paper because Scott caters to the middle range market. So they bought over Scott's so that they increase their work to expand themselves further in Asia. Because Scott was very well established. Scott Paper is another company, was well established in Asia, and Kimberly Clark being an American company trying to capture the market in Asia. So the brand that I was talking about is Premier Tissue, which is a local brand in Malaysia. Local. They are competing neck to neck with Scott Paper. So because Kimberly Clark bought over Scott, so Scott now belongs to Kimberly Clark. So we actually compete with Kimberly Clark, the international brand, a company that produces Kleenex. I'm sure you know Kleenex.
I definitely know Kleenex, yeah.
Yeah, it's a famous American brand. So basically what I did was I helped them to, because it's a Chinese-based company, they are not very adventurous on spending their money into marketing when they are not sure. So I actually helped them to be more... of course, being a marketing person, you need to justify everything. So even though I help them to be more adventurous with their money, I have to be able to justify that there is well-spent money. So basically, I just develop everything for them, from repackaging to rebranding to coming out with sales promotion in the retail outlets like supermarket, hypermarket, and also get them spending money in advertising. Like, you know, since they are not willing to spend a big amount of money on TV, so look into another medium that is that can give you the similar exposure. So I got them to spend more money on radio and some newspaper and some magazine. And that's a lot of money spent on retail, coming out with different promotion. That raised their sales value, their sales, their market share, and so from there, it, because in Asia, there is this super brand association that would highlight to you which is the brand that is well received by the consumers in that country and very high sales volume. So that is the super brand level.
Okay, I got a question. Can you really kind of prove that that your strategy to spend more money on advertising really worked out in favor of them?
Oh, no, I did not spend a lot of money on advertising. I spent a lot of time on coming up with on-ground promotion, which is at the retail, which is immediately reaching the consumers, rather than just advertising. But the advertising at least gave them exposure of the brand, because initially the brand is only... known within the middle income group, and it's kind of like word of mouth, because the product is of good value. That means is good quality, at the same time is priced in a very well, price is slightly lower than Scott's, but it is still at good quality as in Scott's. So
kind of mid-range.
It's a mid-range. It's the middle income group in Malaysia is the highest. That is the best market to work on. The higher income group is just what, 5% or even less in that country. So why put all your money in the market that is only 5% of the total country? So yes, it's a middle range product. And if you ask me the ratio, I would say I think we only spend maybe 30%, 40% of their 40% of their marketing budget for advertising. And the thing is that because in Malaysia there is a lot of different way of doing it. You can work directly with the media owner, basically because I come from a media industry, so I know exactly how the media works. So I went past all the third party, because I came up with most of the ideas and creative. I was actually the creative director as well. So because I know exactly what is the core product, the benefits of the product, and so that's why I want to highlight that, and I know exactly what I want to say in an ad. So I just work with the media owner, which is the radio company, and get them to produce the ad. So you pay very little.
All right.
Mm.
That's quite some information there.
Mm.
Well, what's going on in Shanghai for you?
I came to Shanghai starting up a company for a Malaysian-based company. It's actually international entrepreneurs network organization. It's a mix of a business and being a representative of the network. As a business, they actually run seminars. They do we call it seminars for entrepreneurs and seminars for business people, or shall I say, personal development seminars. But at the same time, this company also runs a representative for an international networking company, and I came down here to start off that business for them, basically because they have no foot here, and they are not very sure if they want to spend a lot of money to build this business. So I was here on a contract or consultant basis to show them if there is money to be made in China before they put all their money into this business. So I took 2 years to build that business for them. In fact, I have no experience in China. I also learned it from scratch. But after 2 years, we created a lot of attraction, start making money. I should say start making money as long as there is activities going on instead of just spending money. I think it broke even end 2006. So that itself is a good indication for them to start considering China. So what happened is that I hands off. I just say that okay, now it's time. I have proven to you, and I have already built a certain number of membership here, and I have already done everything that I could to roll out activities and events to increase awareness of this network. So they then build up a team and send the team down here to run the business. So I am now just being an advisor to them. And now I'm currently with a media company called Big Cafe Media, which is a media owner that developed multiple media platforms within the internet cafes in China.
Okay, that sounds interesting, as well as the business networking sounds interesting. Maybe later on you can send me a link to one of their websites.
Oh yeah, sure.
And you said creating media platforms for the internet cafes.
Mm.
Can you expand a little bit on that? It sounds a little bit abstract to me.
Abstract.
I think I have a vague idea about what it is, but
okay. How well do you know about internet cafes in China?
Well, I mean, you're talking about the physical internet cafes, or you're talking about, you know, the internet cafes on the internet?
Oh, internet cafes, physical internet cafes in China.
Well, I've been to a couple.
Ah, okay, good. I'd say in total there is about 110,000 internet cafes in China. Internet cafes in China are very different from any other Asian countries. They are the only one who can capture massive number of people, basically because the national population itself is big. But we work with, and they also have a premium cafe, which is very big, premium, and they are large. They are at least 200 seat, 250 seat and above. Why I say unique, because personally I have been to internet cafes in Singapore, in Malaysia, even in Indonesia. None of them ever match any of them here in China. They are massive, and they are very beautifully done, very beautifully decorated. So I'm specifically referring to those large premium internet cafes that is based in the first tier, second tier cities, that is around the shopping malls and around the universities, some residential area which has a high density of people. And what we do is that within the internet cafes itself, if you can imagine a subway in China, you have a lot of pillars, you have a lot of empty walls. Similar, in the internet cafes, you have empty walls, you have pillars, you have light boxes. You can turn the whole internet cafe into an advertising opportunity. Posters, like all the PCs, on the PCs, let's say you have 300 PCs. On the PCs, you can actually put up a sticker or, yeah, something to add. And then the mouse pad can turn into an advertising. The chair back can turn into an advertising. And you can wrap up a certain location, because it's very big, you can wrap up 20% to 30% of that internet cafe into a zone solely for maybe Puma or for maybe Nokia. They can cordon, they can actually wrap it up and become a zone. And they can turn that zone into maybe Nokia's interactive content, maybe they can do that. Or we have digital TV in the cafe, so digital TV can use to run advertising, the actual TVC. And the online, on the PC, before they log in, we can have an advertisement as well. So those are all the different opportunities. That's why it's a multiple media platform.
The company that you work for is trying to get other companies, like, for example, like Nike or Puma, interested in putting advertisement in the net cafes.
That's right, because it's a very captive audience, and the people there are age. The highest number of people of 18 to 25 is all. Okay. And the report has shown even I think advertising agencies has realize that a lot of people spend a lot of time in internet cafes, because internet cafes is a social environment for all the Chinese people. And not necessary that some of these people are without computers in their home. They have computers in their home, but there is also a report that shows that the reason why they go to internet cafes is because internet cafes gives them the right digital environment for them to play video games. And video games is doing very, very well in China. And that is the whole concept of internet cafes. Video games in China, I mean, the consumption of video games in China is very high, and I think it would exceed Korea. In fact, it would have exceeded Korea now, because I read a research from 2006. By 2006, the number of video gaming community is going to increase.
Okay, I understand. I knew it was quite big. It's basically a gaming hall. Internet cafes here in China are basically gaming halls, from my point of view.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
Later on, I think it's going to be it's going to turn into casinos once gambling is allowed.
Oh, yes, yes.
So you're staying in Shanghai for a while. You're not sure if you're gonna stay here. What are the aspects that you like about Shanghai, and which are the aspects that you do not so much like?
I guess being a foreigner in Shanghai, every new place there is a period of exploration and a period of being excited of a new place. So I think what I like about Shanghai is basically because it's a new environment, it's with new challenges, it's a metropolitan that gives me new energy. This is how I feel. The different people see it differently. And the other part of it is because it's China, because the other part of it is because I like to travel. So it gave me access to places that I have never thought I could do it before that, because I need to travel in and out, but now I'm here. I have to make sure I would travel to other places around China. So that I guess that is something that is exciting. And the other thing is I've never behaved more as an expat when I was in Singapore. I was so focused on working. But being here, I got a chance to behave more as an expat, and I think I like that experience. The part that I don't like Shanghai is I don't like the traffic. I don't like the way, when I first came here, I practically dislike the rudeness of everyone here. I come from, I started my career in Singapore, so I'm very well civilized and very well trained to know how to queue, and I hate it when people cut the queue, and I do not want to fight with them because I have my, how should I put it? I have my...
Black belt?
No, I have my courtesy, you know, I have my principles. Till now, I've been here for 3 years, I have never done what my friends can do. My friends can fight with the Shanghainese or...
You mean quarrel, I hope.
Huh?
You mean quarrel, right?
Yeah.
You mean physically?
Yeah. No, not physical fight. Quarreling, shouting, fighting with them with a cap. Do you know, until now, I've been here for 3 years, I still give it to them. I was like, I'm not going to do that. That is not me. I do not want to change because of the environment here. I want to maintain as what I've been taught and how I think, hey, you know, a lady should behave like a lady. Don't behave like a... like rude people, you know. So yeah, that's the part I don't like, because I, in just getting a cab itself, I have people have kind of like squandrel. What's the word to use that they have taken your cab?
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
I have an experience. Yeah, I don't know what it is to say squandrel, but I have an experience once that 3 cabs came past me and is taken by somebody who is faster. They just ran right in front of me and opened the door. I was like, oh, I'm not going to chase that. Okay, let you be. So that's one thing I don't like. The other part is that I feel very unsafe in Shanghai because of the reckless driving. I'm a driver. I mean, I have driven for 10 years, so I know how to drive. And I hate it when I see people driving recklessly. So that's the other part that I feel very unsafe in China. I have an accident once in China, actually. And that gave me a big shock, because I was banged by a motorbike in China. And I had a shock. I can't even, my whole body was shaking after that, that bang, because he came all of a sudden, you know, and that really drives me nuts.
So you're still traumatized now?
I'm not, but it takes me 1 week. It takes me, because I took 1 month to recover from my accident, it took me 2 months to be able to cross the road having this bad. So, yeah. And the other part is I don't like about Shanghai is the weather, because You get, now I'm sick, maybe because my colleague is sick, I got the virus, but sometimes the change of weather does a lot of different reaction to my skin, so I don't like that. But I think I'm adjusting after 3 years, it should be. And yeah, it blew me. I come from a very bright, shining summer country. Both Singapore, Malaysia is a summer country. We have beautiful blue skies and clouds, and here it's just a...
You should check it out.
Huh?
I should check it out one day, I guess.
Oh my God, you have not been to Singapore or Malaysia. You should. Malaysia is... if you have seen some of the magnificent ad that has gone into CNN, Malaysia is indeed...
I don't believe in ads.
Okay, you don't believe it? It is true. Coming from a person who is Malaysian, it is true. You have the sun, the sea, the mountains, the rivers, the forest, the caves. You have the nature, but it's a tropical nature. It's not like nature in. You have all the beautiful things there. If you have seen Amazing Race, there's one race that was done in the tropical forest in East Malaysia. The Toyota something, I can't remember. Yeah, that, if you've seen that series, you will get the chance to experience Malaysia itself. It was a good program.
All right. You really sum up all those stereotype things that, except for the weather, that expats usually don't like.
Stereotype.
About,
okay.
You know, being in Shanghai. I always remind them when they sum up stuff like that about the fact that most of the people do actually queue up, and only a very small minority actually is not queuing up. And I think a lot of people do actually obey the rules, although it doesn't seem maybe that way, but I think most of the people do actually obey the rules.
It depends where you are. If, let's say, you are queuing in Portman, of course they will queue. But if you are picking a cab on the roadside, of course they won't.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you. I've been in China for 4 years. I've been in real parts of China because, yeah, I don't consider Shanghai as real China.
But I have to agree that I do like the second tier, third tier cities. In fact, when I travel, I prefer to travel to those cities because I come from the city. I don't need to be in the city, you know. So I kind of like, I've been to Guizhou, I've been to Sichuan, I've not been to a lot of places in China, but...
Check out Zhuhai.
Huh?
Check out Zhuhai, I like it there. You know, I'm from big cities myself.
Mm. Zhuhai, I've not been.
Zhuhai is very small, it's near Macau. It's a seaside kind of resort.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like, I'm a person who enjoy being among the culture and the nature and the tribes. So when I was in Guizhou, we went up to the mountain and stayed 2 nights in the mountain we even dined with the tribes there. They invited us for dinner and we just go there and have dinner. It's a very, basic, lifestyle. And I think that gives us the serenity of the as you say, true China. That is true China. And I mean, I'm a descendant of Chinese, but I have not even visited my ancestors, which is in Fujian. I don't even know where they are. Even though my grandfather has two wives, and he actually has another wife still in Fujian, but I suspect she would have passed away because my grandmother passed away. But I believe I still have my cousins, but I have not. I don't even know where they are. I have not visited them, and that's what I like, that part of China. So I would prefer to. That's why I like Tibet and places like maybe Xinjiang or Mongolia, any place that is not so
modern.
Yes,
crowded.
Yes, not modern, not crowded.
Cultivated.
Huh? populated. Yeah, that's why I like. I like places like that.
All right, I understand. Well, before I'm gonna cap off, is there anything you would like to add?
Would like to add? Not really.
All right.
I didn't really expect. I didn't know what to expect in this interview. Basically, I just I just move with the flow. You just ask me things that I know. So, things that I don't know, I it's very hard for me to say.
Well, I don't want to get complicated on the weekend.
No, no problem. In fact, I'm glad I spoke to you because now I realize that my voice is slowly recovering, and my sore throat is not as painful as I woke up this morning. It was so painful that I had to drown in 2 glasses of water.
All right. Well, nice talking to you. You know, you never know if you bump into each other. Probably you won't recognize me anyway.
Is that a big pun?
I said we might bump into each other.
Oh, yes, there's one more thing I'd like to add. The thing I'd like to add is I wish that I was in Beijing where I could see more of the artistic scene of well, I like, well, I guess because I like musicals and I like performances, dance performances, basically musical and dance performances and other artistic festivals. But I think in Shanghai, you have, but it's very limited. So the other part I like about Shanghai is that because in Malaysia, you don't get much of it. But in Singapore, yes, you do. But it's not as much as in Shanghai, basically, because Shanghai is much bigger than Singapore. So that's the other part I like about Shanghai, basically. The art scene.
The art scene.
The artistic, creative scene. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, really. Okay, thanks a lot, Celine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, okay.
Have a nice weekend.
Thank you, but can I, off the record, can I know what is this
all
about?
Well, if something is off the record, then I have to hang up the phone first, all right?
Okay, hang up the phone.
Okay, catch you later, bye-bye.
Oh, bye.